1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. History has been made. A former president held accountable in a criminal trial. Donald Trump has been found guilty on all 34 counts in his election interference trial. CBS's Katrina Kaufman was in the courtroom when the verdicts came down.
When he walked out of the room, he passed right by me with, I think, the deepest frown that I've ever seen on his face, followed by his attorney, Todd Blanche, who just looked equally morose, and his son and the rest of his team trailing behind him.
Sentencing is scheduled for July 11th. CBS's Matt Piper watched people react to the verdict.
It was very interesting to be outside the courthouse as the verdict was coming through to the general population, hundreds of them who were in this park. You had one side of people who were very anti-Donald Trump, who started to scream guilty and started to clap and started to use bullhorns. Then you had the side of Donald Trump supporters who really did remain very quiet when they found out that he was guilty of all counts. And within minutes, they were gone.
Trump will almost certainly appeal, but CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum says a ruling likely won't come until after November 5th.
If you are disappointed in the guilty verdict, you might be able to take some comfort that the Trump legal team preserved a number of different legal objections to the decision-making of the judge. All of those objections to rulings are appealable and quite possibly could result in reversible error, but there will surely be no appellate resolution until well after the election.
A 28-year-old Minneapolis police officer has been shot and killed in an ambush. Police Department Assistant Chief of Operations Katie Blackwell.
When officers arrived, they received gunfire immediately, and they exchanged gunfire. Two officers were injured, and they were immediately brought to HCMC. Officer Jamal Mitchell died at the hospital, despite all life-saving measures by Hennepin Healthcare.
After studying thousands of breast cancer cases, researchers at the Stanford University School of Medicine say they've made an important discovery. Gene sequences inherited at birth are powerful predictors of the breast cancer type that a person might develop decades later and how deadly it might be. Researcher Christina Curtis.
The takeaway from this is that these variants may influence an individual's risk of progressing potentially from a pre-invasive breast cancer, a non-malignant breast cancer, to one that is invasive.
South Carolina officials have filed ethics complaints against the court clerk who handled the Alex Murdaugh murder trial. They say, among other things, Colleton County Clerk of Court Becky Hill allowed a photo of Murdaugh in a holding cell to be taken to promote her book about the trial. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us on the next Midday Magazine as we wrap up the week talking with Three Bridges Recovery in Part 1 and the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church in Part 2. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State education officials are threatening to suspend funding to Wisconsin's biggest school district. Milwaukee officials were supposed to turn over important financial reports 8 months ago. The Department of Public Instruction says Milwaukee school officials have to submit an action plan to avoid having funds cut off. The Madison judge presiding over the latest Act 10 court case appears to have signed a recall petition against then-Governor Scott Walker. Governor Evers says Jacob Frost should not recuse himself.
Oh, I don't think so. Recusal is kind of a death knell of judiciary. Let's just let it play out.
Judge Frost could rule to restore union rights that many Wisconsin public workers lost in 2011. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers win the series. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Cubs 6-4 in front of 33,000 fans at American Family Field. Milwaukee seems to come up with a new hero every game. This time it was catcher Gary Sanchez. Bottom of the eighth, full count, two outs, score tied 4-4, and Sanchez lifted a two-run homer to center that traveled 422 feet. Sanchez was signed by the Brewers in free agency, but a wrist injury prevented him from reporting on time. Manager Pat Murphy.
You know, he came into spring training late. He was hurt. There was all sorts of speculation about, you know, how's that wrist going to be and that type of thing. And as it turned out, you know, he didn't get to play a lot in the first 20 games. But since then, he's gotten fairly regular action, and he's proven time and time again that he's very, very capable.
So the Brewers win this series 3-1 in Craig Counsell's return to Milwaukee. After taking over as the manager of the Cubs, the Brewers remain in first place in the NL Central. Chicago drops to third place, 5.5 games behind the Brewers and the Cardinals. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly cloudy in mid-40s here in the overnight, a southeast wind. On Friday, we'll have a mix of clouds and sunshine, highs in the mid-70s. Could be one or two showers later in the afternoon, but more likely a chance of rain will enter the picture Friday night. Right now, it's 55.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us for a Friday edition. We'll get you ready for the weekend, take a look at some fun things, and talk a little politics along the way. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our sunny studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, text at the same number, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of things coming up today. Excited to have Robin Grams from the city of Waukesha is going to be stopping in around 10:50 to talk about Riverside Rhythms.
Ooh.
That's getting underway right along the river here in downtown Waukesha. It's a wonderful event. Our own Johnny Watermelon is going to be out there every Wednesday. So Robin will be here to talk all about Riverside Rhythms and some of the local artists that are going to be performing down there. It's pretty cool. Doug Haynes at 11:06 is an author, and he's out with his second book called Wisconsin GOP History, A Coloring Book. I think it'll be really interesting. I do.
Sorry.
I know. It should be a fun conversation.
I need it. Okay. Yep. I'm already thinking about Christmas presents now.
Okay, good. And I want to remind you about our Sconny Summer statewide text to win contest begins this Monday at 7 a.m. So here's what happens. You want to tune in because you have a chance to win some really nice stuff, including Wisconsin Dells prize packages, Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets, the chance to win a Sconny Summer staycation.
Yeah.
So you have a chance to win every weekday starting from Monday to the 14th, starting at 7 a.m. right through the 7 p.m. hour. And you're going to get a keyword.
Yeah.
That you're going to have to text in. And then everyone is entered automatically,
mm-hmm.
and from those keywords, one winner will be chosen for that hour.
Yeah.
Is the way that it worked last time.
I just want to put a thing out really quick. We're using the term Sconny with this program, with this
contest.
Thank you. Wow. Words are tough.
Ah.
I just want to put a word out to the marketing department for Civic Media. I think we need some merch that says Sconny on it. Like, you know, Sconny by birth.
Oh, I like that.
Or like Radio Lover by Choice, something like that. I just want the word Sconny. I used to have a shirt that said Sconny, but it no longer fits, and I'm not willing to do push-ups. So,
we'll work on the merch.
New merch.
Work on the merch. But what you need to do in order to take part in this statewide text to win contest is download the Civic Media app, because you can call and text directly from the app. So wherever you get your apps, download the Civic Media app. And then get ready to text in on Monday. And I know our friend and colleague, Todd Albaugh, did a test run yesterday.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Which really was very funny. But there's kind of an internal competition.
Yeah.
On who gets the most texts sent in during their shows.
Yeah.
And last year, Todd won. I think we were third. Which is very respectable. It was our first trip, our first time with this contest.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we can do better.
Folks, I don't think we can do better. I think you can do better.
Well, it is kind of all up to you.
Yeah, I can't text at all. I mean, I can text, but no one cares. So, yeah, we'll get ready. We won't let you down, Jane. We'll do this as a team.
Be ready coming Monday. So download the Civic Media app right now. It's absolutely free. And then wherever you're listening and whatever station you're listening to all across the vast Civic Media radio network, you can listen through the app.
Yeah.
And take us with you wherever you go this summer. All right, we're going to start off with a segment we're calling, Well, Recuse Me.
Well, excuse me.
Yes. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito in the news. You may have heard something about this.
What flag is he in love with now?
About flying the freak flags outside of his house. Of course, the Washington Post sat on a story for 3 years that after the attack on the Capitol on January 6th of 2021 and before President Biden's inauguration on January 20th, outside the Alito household was an upside-down American flag flying, which many people associate with the attack on the Capitol because a number of those people were carrying upside-down American flags.
Yeah.
They were also flying the Alitos at their summer home. His summer home. The Appeal to Heaven flag, which while does have a longstanding historical significance, that also has been very much aligned with the Christian nationalist movement.
Yeah.
And so, again, after sitting on this story for 3 years, the New York Times finally published that the Post had all this information, and the story came out, and there was a letter saying that Samuel Alito should recuse himself from determining any cases that are related in any way to the January 6th attack at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, Justice Alito wrote a defiant letter to Senate leaders who raised concerns over these flags. Quote, "My wife is fond of flying flags. I am not. My wife was solely responsible for having flagpoles put up at our residence and our vacation home and has flown a wide variety of flags over the years."
Is this like the third time that Associate Justice Samuel Alito has thrown his wife under the bus for this entire thing?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Every time someone's like, it's my wife.
She made me. Well, she did it.
She did it. I have no mind of my own in this home. I make no decisions. It's my wife.
Well, it is interesting that Alito, who wrote the opinion that overturned Roe versus Wade, says his wife, quote, makes her own decisions, and I have always respected her right to do so, unquote. Well, that's because she's no longer a breeder, apparently.
Yeah. Or she would make, quote unquote, the right choice then.
She would make the right decision.
Yeah.
So he's not going to recuse himself. I didn't ever believe that he would recuse himself, even though that seems like the right thing to do.
I mean, when you have conflicting interests like that, I mean, also Clarence Thomas's conflicts of interest, not recusing himself. It's just, I don't demand anything of these individuals anymore because they don't care. They don't have to care. There are no consequences.
There's no one they answer to.
And I hate saying that because it sounds so cynical and I never want to be a cynic. But over and over again, it has been proven to us with evidence, fact-based evidence, that these individuals of great power and of great wealth do not face the same sorts of consequences and or justices.
Or checks and balances.
That you or I face. I mean, you can look down, I mean, lying on the stand. I'll use an old example. Bill Clinton perjured himself on the stand. If you or I would have done that, jail.
Oh, yeah.
Donald Trump is running his mouth off every day.
And continuing to violate the gag order. E. Jean Carroll is considering suing him again.
We'd be in jail forever. Yeah. So it's these individuals. Why do they need to recuse themselves? We're going to lose interest in a week to 10 days. And we move on to the other tragedy. Some other mass shooting is going to happen. We have to talk about it as we should talk about it. While these idiots who are like, they are, there's not a cool term for conflict of interest, but they have conflicts of interest. Three of their coworkers are straight up liars.
Yep.
They could just do whatever they want.
Apparently so. Andrew from Verona listening here on WAUK texting in, wow, Alito gives his wife more autonomy with that flagpole than her own reproductive organs. Yes, Andrew, you are sadly right. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We're talking about whether or not Justice Samuel Alito should recuse himself from January 6th cases that are going to be coming before the Supreme Court. And another reason why I brought this up is because now there is some controversy here at home.
Yeah.
A judge, this is from Scott Bauer in the Associated Press, a judge overseeing a challenge brought by unions who want to undo the Act 10 measure. Dane County Circuit Judge Jacob Frost's name and signature appears on a petition to recall Scott Walker at the time.
Yep.
Now, he was not a county circuit judge at that time. He was appointed to the bench in 2020 by Governor Tony Evers. Evers defeating Walker in 2018. At the time of the recall, Frost was working as a private practice attorney after he graduated from law school in 2010. So now, because he signed this recall election, there are calls that he should recuse himself from hearing this case about whether or not Act 10 should be overturned.
Yeah.
My question is, should they both recuse? I mean, if Alito doesn't recuse, should Frost have to recuse? And if we demand that Alito recuse, should we demand that Frost recuse? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you want to call or text, I'm genuinely curious.
Yeah.
Because I think if we're going to have that standard, whether or not this will actually happen, I think they should both recuse.
Okay.
Governor Evers says, no, there's no reason for Frost to recuse himself from this case. I kind of think, again, if we're going to demand that Alito step down, why would the situation be different for this judge here in Wisconsin?
I've been going back and forth on this ever since you brought it up, and I'm just of a petty mind right now. I don't think he should. We demand, but that doesn't go anywhere. There's no official documentation to say Judge Alito, Justice Alito, recuse yourself. There's calls for it. He says no. So I'm not even going to bother with Frost. If one of the nine justices in the highest court of the land says, no, I can do this, I can oversee a case that I have put out my specific interests in, and we're talking about the overthrowing of election processes, and I'm not going to do it, then I'm not even going to broach it, because I am now starting to see conservative leaders say Frost needs to recuse himself, as if Justice Alito has never spoken about this at all. So that's my big problem as well. So you know what? Good for the goose, good for the gander. If Alito gets to do it, Frost gets to do it, and you can't say anything. That's my compromise. I won't demand anything, but you can't say anything because you're not going to take up the same sort of mantle as we would.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Recusal for me and not for thee? Or is it recusal for all? Should they both just recuse themselves and get it over with? Although that's not actually going to happen.
I can't write that as a title for the podcast. That's too long.
It's too long. We'll work on it during the break. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original
person.
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know. Now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're gonna get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's Live in the Lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The morning show on WFHR. It's delicious.
Peanut butter and jelly should be squidgy.
Oh, I know a lot of people. Yeah. It's,
and my, on the good texture squidgy white bread.
Yeah.
It's just, it's the way it's got
to
be.
My sister felt the same way. It's got to be the middle, especially for her, had to be just a mush.
You guys, as fascinating as this conversation is, one very big thing you just missed there. Melissa just said the word squidgy on the air.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did.
I mean, what the what?
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board. We are coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. It's so nice out, by the way. Get outside if you have a chance. It's really beautiful. You can always join our conversation. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We're talking about whether or not Justice Samuel Alito and a Dane County judge here in Wisconsin should both recuse. We'll get back to that conversation in just a second. Want to remind you, the Waukesha Farmers Market is underway and runs all summer and into early fall. It's really a wonderful, wonderful farmers market. And I'm going to be down there this Saturday.
What?
Yes. So stop on by. You can register to win this really nice bicycle. And we can chat.
I was going to say, tell them what you said yesterday.
Well, if... we don't always have the time to have long conversations when people call in.
Correct.
Because we have time constraints. That's just the way it works.
Yeah.
And so if you would like to have a longer conversation about something, anything, come on down. Okay. I'll make sure we have two chairs.
Ooh.
I know. Really splashing out on the chair. make sure we have two chairs and we can sit down and have a long conversation. And I mean that most sincerely. I really do.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
We're just not going to yell at each other, okay?
Oh, then I'm not going to work the farmer's market this year.
Come on. You can do it and be non-yelly. Anyway, this Saturday, Waukesha's Farmer's Market, right downtown, right along the river. Come on out and say hello. Look for the WAUK Civic Media tent, and I will be out there from 9 till about 11:30. So I'm looking forward to it. We're going to do a scone run.
Pat and I had a very long conversation today about scones on the radio. Not long, but just... more than you should talk about scones.
more attention than a scone deserves.
Exactly. Right.
Again, we were talking about Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito controversy over the flags flying outside of his home. Alito had the upside down American flag hanging outside of his house after the January 6th attack on the Capitol. And then they had another one, the appeal to heaven flag flying outside their vacation home, apparently for a very long time. And now this Wisconsin Justice Dane County Circuit Judge Jacob Frost, who is overseeing the case about whether or not Act 10 should be overturned.
Yeah.
He signed the recall to recall Scott Walker in 2011. This was before he was on the court.
Mm-hmm.
But now there are calls that he needs to recuse from that case, just like Alito should be recusing himself from any January 6th cases, including whether or not then-President Trump has complete and total immunity, which is a very scary proposition.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, the fact that he says it, it makes you go, okay. But then you think about our Supreme Court and you think, oh, no.
Oh, no is right.
Yeah.
So should they both recuse? Should one recuse? Should no one recuse? Is it just recuse me?
Well, excuse me!
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can join us right now. Jake from Madison, listening on WFHR, saying Act 10 is a bad idea passed in a scummy way isn't the same as saying it's unconstitutional. Frost should stay on in Dane County. But notice how Republicans jump all over issues and amplify them. I sure wish Dick Durbin could be a fraction as angry and active about going after Alito Thomas for their crookedness, Jake and Madison. Yeah, Jake, I don't get it. It's like, oh, what can we do? Well, write a nasty letter. Yeah. We'll say we're so disappointed in you.
I don't have to do anything because it really doesn't affect me anyways because I'm a rich senator. So I think that brings up a good point. You know, Act 10 and Act 32 was done in a really... He didn't run on those things.
He never mentioned those things.
And then they happened. And then he got the support of the police union behind him for this.
And firefighters, right?
But the firefighters marched.
Oh, that's right. In Madison,
they marched with the teachers. The police did not.
Right.
And so, also with this next text from Jim from Appleton, he's saying, first, Frost was not a judge when the recall petition was circulated. Second, we've been down this road most recently with Judge Janet. Third, I'm sick of Republican whining and trying to play rules for thee, but not for me. When I see Sammy, Clarence, Neil, and Cannon recusing them because of much more recent conflict of interest, I don't care what the regressive party says.
Appreciate that, Jake. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, that's when I said earlier that it's coming from a petty side. I'm angry over the fact that you have a judge in the highest court of the land flying an upside down flag, putting his feelings out there about the overturning of our electoral process, our democracy. And he gets to say, no, I'm fine. I don't have to do that. Meanwhile, a guy signs his name on a piece of paper because he had his feelings about a governor who was not fit for the job he believed.
And again, this is in 2010.
This is in 2011.
2011.
And that little signature is supposed to garner the same sort of upheaval? No. I'm sorry. I don't. Because it's fine. Ask them both to recuse themselves. If Alito doesn't, I no longer care if Frost does.
855-752-4842. What do you think? Should they both recuse? Should one recuse? Should no one recuse? What do you think? Callan says, too, that... if Jacob Frost wasn't on the court when he signed the recall, I think that's the difference between him and Alito.
And Chris Casper said the police did march with the protesters. I was there. It was actually kind of awesome to see them doing the solidarity, followed up by John in West Bend saying it was the Milwaukee police and firefighters that supported Walker. The professional firefighters of Wisconsin marched and fought against Act 10. So I don't know.
Thank you for that clarification.
I don't know if it was the official police unions. Cops may have marched with them, but like I said, he got them on his side. He didn't say anything about Act 10 or 32, and then he pulled this.
Well, and that's what I think, again, people tend to forget. As you pointed out, Greg, Scott Walker never mentioned that once when he was running for office. Not once. And then when he was elected, boom, they just kind of rammed it through. And that ultimately was his big conservative accomplishment that launched his presidential run.
Yeah.
That's what he was running on. Look what I did in Wisconsin. I broke the unions. Reward me.
Yeah.
Let me be your president so I can do this all around the country. And he was pretty soundly rejected.
Oh, my gosh. And he was a Koch brothers guy.
Yes.
That was the first big nick in the armor for the Koch brothers. Everyone thought they were indestructible. Then good old Scott, I bump my head on a shelf. Walker comes in and says, hey, I can do this. And people are like, no. Also, for the record, I'll just say this out loud before we take off to get a snack. I was against the recall.
You were?
Absolutely. And my name was probably on the list somewhere because at the time I was like, yeah, I'll sign it. Then I realized it's the same issue I have with the Robin Voss recall. It was bad timing, too much money for such, like, if you don't like Scott Walker, spend the time to find a candidate, run in the reelect.
And work against him, right?
Because what happened was in his election, he won by 3 points. In the recall election, he won by 9.
Yeah, there were a lot of people who were against the recall just on principle.
Yeah, so it was a waste of time and money. And I just, yeah.
News is on the way next. When we return, guns in the RNC. This seems like a bad idea. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief, a Minneapolis police officer has been killed in an ambush shooting. Here's CBS News Minnesota reporter Jennifer Mayerly.
The Minneapolis police officer, who we had learned was in critical condition, has died from his injuries. We saw that show of support at Hennepin Healthcare.
The suspected shooter is also dead. He's been many things, but not until now has he been a felon. Former President Donald Trump has been convicted of all 34 charges in his election interference trial in New York. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg.
I did my job. Our job is to follow the facts and the law without fear or favor. And that's exactly what we did here.
Bragg wouldn't say if prosecutors will seek prison time when Trump is sentenced on July 11th. Reaction to the conviction from a Trump supporter in Palm Beach, Florida.
We'll prevail. We're not worried. We're here to support the president like we always do. And that's it.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Perry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Americans are drinking less milk than ever. Milwaukee Magazine reports fluid milk consumption's been dropping since the USDA began tracking it in 1975. Milk-like beverages made from almonds, oats, and soy are largely to blame. Wisconsin is the second leading milk-producing state in the nation, behind California. Summer is coming. Wisconsin spends 11 more days than we used to, with highs in the 90s or hotter. Roop Singh of the Red Cross Red Crescent Climate Center says heat waves are a silent killer.
We don't see the same images that we see when there's an extreme flooding event or hurricanes, but heat waves are only second to disease epidemics in terms of the lives lost from natural hazards.
Sunday is Heat Action Day, and that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Pete with the 60-second showbiz beat. Vanna White is not ready to retire just because Pat Sajak is hanging it up after 41 years. Sajak's last episode of Wheel will air June 7th. The 67-year-old White says she never would have thought she would have been at the job for 40 years, but loves that she doesn't play a character, is just herself, and gets to give money away. You could try to find something unlikable about Vanna White, but you would not be successful. Jerry Seinfeld cannot stay out of the news lately, but at least he admits he's not a real man. What? You heard it right. Seinfeld says he misses the days of the 60s, when there was a hierarchy that started with manly men at the top like JFK, Muhammad Ali, and Sean Connery, who, by the way, openly admitted to slapping multiple women. Nice comp, Jer. Seinfeld says he is not a fan of toxic masculinity and admits he never made it to real man status because he became a comedian, which allowed him to remain childish. Yeah, that's why. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly cloudy in mid-40s here in the overnight, a southeast wind. On Friday, we'll have a mix of clouds and sunshine, highs in the mid-70s. Could be one or two showers later in the afternoon, but more likely a chance of rain will enter the picture Friday night. It's 53 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table. And was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll get a Max Inc. preview for the weekend.
And listen to some great Wisconsin bands.
Rocker joins us first thing in the morning. be there.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 until 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You better think about what you're trying to do to me. Think that your mind.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, where you can always join the conversation. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do have baseball action coming up a little later on this morning. Cubs at the Brew Crew, 11:35. If you want to listen to the game, you can't listen on the app, but you can listen to the game on News from the Center, WRCE in Richland Center. That's 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. And also on WRJN in Racine and in Kenosha on 98.1 FM. So Brewers hosting the Cubbies today at 11:35 if you want to catch some baseball action. What a beautiful day for baseball.
Oh, my God. I wish I could go. But wait, it's that I could go to the game.
You might be a little, you'll be a little late.
What?
But you could still go.
Oh, baseball. All right.
Allison Durr for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has a great article in the JS Online today about the upcoming Republican National Convention. And after I read the article, I have to say this seems like a bad idea. This just seems like a bad idea to me. Those looking to cross into the area immediately outside the Republican National Convention perimeter will likely have to leave behind non-plastic containers, tennis balls, other kind of innocuous things, but they will allow guns.
Will they allow guns made out of tennis balls?
Probably not.
Darn it!
Alderman Robert Bauman says, I find that totally absurd because his district includes the downtown area where the convention is going to be. Literally, you can't have tennis balls, but you can have an AR-15 assault rifle.
Well, you know what, though? In the past, we've talked about the fact that the CPAC and other Republican events won't allow guns.
They won't allow guns at the NRA convention.
At the NRA convention. But you know what? I mean, I don't like it and I don't want it. And that's going to keep me even further away from the downtown area. But hey, you're believing in that Second Amendment, I guess. It's good Lord.
Robert Bauman, considering pushing for changes and rethinking his sponsorship of a proposed ordinance that would prohibit dozens of items, including air rifles, would be prohibited, but not actual guns.
What do you have there? A Pelican? No, just real guns.
It's a gun.
I mean,
it's an actual legitimate gun. In the RNC security footprints, that's where the public and demonstrators can come and go during the events. Within that area, you can have guns, but no tennis balls, no bouncing.
So no pickup, like pickleball games are going to happen.
Not going to happen.
You're just asking for trouble. You're begging for trouble.
Yes, you are.
You want trouble to happen, so you have a finger to point at. I mean, I don't want to be a doomsayer, but this is irresponsibility at a very high level.
I would agree with you.
This just goes to show how much of a poop show this RNC is going to be,
well,
I think.
And I think, too, I think you make a good point about, and I've always been concerned about this, the city coming off looking badly.
Yes.
And allowing this kind of almost ensures that something bad will happen. And as you said, then they can go back and say, it's a Democrat-run city. This is why this happens. That's why Milwaukee is terrible.
That's why I always look at from the point of view of, like, they come to these big cities and then they make fun of these big cities.
Yes.
And they're like, the liberally controlled cities, like, why? Okay, then go to Tulsa. Go have it in a big farmland. Like, go to where you think the people who you love vote live. Don't come here then and complain about us. You have to come here because the only place that will allow you to do what you want to do. And then you're going to allow guns on the premises?
Nick Desiato, who's chief of staff to Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, says, we are at the mercy of state law for this. The legislation would prohibit any dangerous ordinance, weapon, or firearm prohibited by the laws of Wisconsin under specific statutes. referencing machine guns, short-barreled shotguns, short-barreled rifles, silencers. They did include that same language in the ordinance the city passed before the DNC, which pretty much got canceled because we were in the middle of COVID at that time. Wisconsin law prevents the city and all local governments from prohibiting the possession or carrying of legal firearms.
I am really disappointed. I'm not shocked, but I'm disappointed.
Is this a good idea?
This is a terrible idea.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin.
And frankly, I don't know how many people are listening to this right now, but I'll make an appeal. If you want to go protest the RNC this year, I suggest you don't, for many reasons. Top of that, security reasons now, because if they're going to allow guns, people will have those guns on them as they're walking into the facility.
You can't bring them into the facility. This is just for the perimeter.
Okay,
well, outside of the convention.
So people will have guns on them.
I think that can be pretty much a given.
Okay.
If these are the rules that they're going to have in place.
So as we know, some of these, and please pardon the pun, it's the only one I can think of. Some of them are easily triggered when you get in the way of their freedoms. So who knows what could happen? And then guess what happens when John Q, gun owner of the public, pulls his gun? It's all of a sudden the fault of the person who doesn't own the gun, who's there protesting as guaranteed by the Constitution of this United States you claim to love. This is only going to go wrong for the people who protest this. So honestly, I just think it's a bad idea to protest this or go to a place across town and televise. I don't know, but don't put yourself in a place, A, to get hurt or B, to get blamed, because this will not end well for the people who are dissenting this organization's activities.
The security footprints for the RNC expected to extend from Cherry Street to the north to West Clyburn on the south, from North Water on the east to North 9th on the west. Security footprint will surround a hard perimeter where you have to get credentials, and there you can't have guns.
Oh, well, thank God. Thank goodness. Whew, problem solved, everybody.
U.S. Secret Service controls the area inside the hard perimeter that won't allow any weapons except for government agents and law enforcement officers, obviously. But I am deeply concerned about this. If they allow this.
Yeah.
Deeply, deeply concerned.
I do not. And the thing is if they don't allow it, then they're going to have to extend the security perimeter out even further to make checks. Though, if you want to go into that specific area where protesters and people walking around can enter, then you have to go through that. So it's even more, it's security that I'm happy with, but it's more money. It's more like problems.
Oh yeah. It's a bigger layout for law enforcement.
If you're a GOP voter and you're going to the RNC or you want to go, just leave your gun at home, please.
Well, and you can't bring it into the convention.
Exactly. You're going to be walking around or leave it in your car or like just leave it at home. Put it in a lock safe and go walk around. I don't know. This is so
dangerous.
Infuriating.
It's dangerous.
Annoying. It makes me so just, oh.
The RNC and National Republicans putting increasing pressure on the Secret Service to expand the hard perimeter to absorb these demonstrations around Pere Marquette Park. Republicans say they're concerned about the potential for conflict between demonstrators and convention attendees if they allow that protester a quarter mile from Fiserv. They want a mandated confrontational area.
What does that mean?
A place where people can go yell at each other, apparently.
Or fight.
Yeah, which is not a good idea.
No, I mean, God, this is handled so this is so stupid. These people are so stupid.
Well, and I guess what really tops the cake on this article today in the Journal Sentinel from Allison Durr is that the Republican National Convention officials have declined to comment on guns being allowed in the security footprint. They're not going to address it. The co-chair of the Coalition to March on the RNC, Omar Flores, said the group has already been preparing for the potential that people who disagree with them might be armed. He expressed frustration at what he sees as the different approach to First and Second Amendment rights during the convention.
Mr. Flores, I understand that you have to take in consideration whenever you march, you're going to run into people that you disagree with, and sometimes they might be armed. In this case, I feel like it's guaranteed that you have to look at it and say every single person is armed, and if unless you are walking around in bulletproof everything, man, I'm sorry, but I don't want to see anyone get hurt. And I don't want to see
on either protesters. Side, on any side. I don't want anybody getting hurt.
No, of course I don't want anyone. I don't want anyone to get hurt on either side ever. But my point is, it's so like them that anytime something happens, they're going to point the finger at the people who had no guns on them, saying they're the ones who provoked it. They're the anti-Americans. They're the protesters who don't want us to do anything. It's like, yeah, but they didn't have a gun. They don't have a gun. Yell back. Make a face. Flip the bird. I don't care. But when someone has a gun, they have an automatic advantage. And if they have a bad temper, it gets even worse.
A short fuse.
So I don't want to tell people not to protest and stand up for what they believe. I absolutely believe in that. But if you are putting yourself into a situation where many people may be armed around you who severely disagree with what you are saying, that is dangerous. And the GOP, shame on them for saying nothing and even allowing guns into the security perimeter.
It's amazing.
What are we doing?
Seriously, it is amazing.
I would like to know what the DNC, I'm not saying, oh, they're so much better. I have no idea what their plan is. Are they even going to be like, yeah, just don't even bring a gun?
Well, it's in Chicago. You can't have guns. So that kind of alleviates that question.
Yeah, I mean, I just...
Again, if you're just joining us, there's an article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Allison Durr talking about people in the area immediately outside the perimeter of the Republican National Convention in July in downtown Milwaukee have to leave. They can't bring in non-plastic water, you know, water bottles or anything like that.
That's where this whole thing started.
And they can't bring in tennis balls because I know when I go to a convention, I always bring tennis balls.
You never know. A pickup game might happen. Andrew on the live stream said, why is the RNC worried about protesters being armed? Firearms are constitutionally protected more than reproductive health care. So, I mean, it's don't go bringing your pregnant ladies there either, I guess, because they might have a baby. And, you know, pregnant liberal ladies, they have abortions when the baby comes and after.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, I'm really fired about this. Absolutely.
Well, that's why we brought it up.
Yeah.
Because this just dropped today,
yeah,
and I think it's important that people know about this and get the discussion going. Maybe they will change something. Gary from Sussex is on the line. Good morning, Gary. Thank you for joining us. What do you think about this?
Well, you know, I think you guys are thinking too far out of the box. First of all, I don't know if you guys have your concealed carry permit. I do. I got it right at the very beginning, and I haven't pointed my gun at anybody ever.
Great.
Haven't shot anybody lately.
Great.
Congratulations.
So the fact of the matter is, people who have the concealed carry, since you took the course, you know the ramifications of even pulling your gun out and pointing at somebody. You're going to go to jail. You know, so we're good gun-toting conservatives, and I don't think that there's going to be a problem at all. Now, I worry more about frozen bottles, frozen water bottles, and bricks. That's what I'm more concerned about. The tennis balls, I don't have a problem with.
Yeah, even I certainly, yeah, Gary, guns. I mean, I thank you. As always, really appreciate you giving your perspective. We really do appreciate you checking in because we want to hear from people with differing views. I agree with you that the vast majority of gun owners are very responsible people. That does not mean that there are not many, many irresponsible people who are also gun owners.
Okay.
And yeah, don't bring frozen water bottles and bricks, okay? Don't bring those either. Maybe a ping pong ball. Try that.
Yeah.
Although that probably won't get through either, but. You want to live on the edge.
Yeah.
Try the ping pong ball. All right. We're going to change course when we return and talk about Riverside Rhythms coming back to downtown Waukesha. It's a wonderful event. Robin Grams from the city of Waukesha will be joining us in studio. So stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I get questions sometimes from folks about whether or not people should buy silver or gold. You know, the actual physical metal itself. Should people buy it, put it in a safe, or bury it in their backyard or something? And I get it. There's something to the allure of a precious metal. You know, gold is tangible. You can hold it in your hands. It's pretty. Gold used to prop up the value of the U.S. dollar. It's been about 50 years since that was the case. But some people feel like buying gold or silver can be a safeguard for their money in uncertain times. Feelings are one thing, and math is something different. And in this case, the math is very clear. A diversified, low-risk portfolio beats a hidey hole full of gold every time. For more insights on how money works, how you can save more and spend less, head on over to workmoney.org. Until next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
She wear a poodle skirt and saddle shoes, like to flip and fly when she dance with you. She can dance all night, so you best be hot.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He is with the city of Waukesha. Robin Grams is here. Good morning, Robin. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Riverside Rhythms, which is right along the river in beautiful downtown Waukesha. And I know WAUK was out there last summer. Johnny mm-hmm. Watermelon would go down there for the concerts and had a lovely time. And it's a really nice, intimate place. It's not like you're going to a festival.
Correct. Right? Yeah. And Johnny said he's coming back again this year, so we're happy to have him.
Excellent.
So where do you get the talent from who perform?
So we put out music applications to people who have performed in the past or people that have performed at other venues, other events, and it's picked up over the years. This is the sixth Riverside Rhythms. We've had we have 11 dates and we had about 30 applications for musicians.
Great.
Yeah, so
that's fantastic.
A few new ones this year, some of the one favorites coming back as well. So yeah, this event is just it's continued to grow. 8 sponsors this year as well.
Great.
Yeah, we have a lot of local ones. Eaton, Chef Pam's Kitchen, Metal Tech, Chick-fil-A's sponsoring. They're going to be the first food vendor as well.
Oh, nice.
Sky High Marketing, Generac, American Family Insurance, and Waterstone Bank. So
good. It's growing.
That's fantastic.
It's growing. So,
do you have a favorite group that's coming? Do you don't have to pick favorites, but one you're excited about.
Oh, well, for a new one, the Matt Haffel Trio, they're a new one. I've heard good things about them, but Robert Allen Jr. Band, he performs a lot of here. He's performed at Summerfest. And
I'm pretty sure he was my guitar teacher growing up. Robert Allen Jr.
Really?
So. Yeah, I really do. I think so.
Yeah, he's really great. Yeah. But yeah, the whole lineup is great. And we have so many food vendors as well. Like I mentioned, Chick-fil-A, Mama D's, which is a downtown business. We like to have downtown businesses. Mm-hmm. Crazy Taco, Phoenix Mobile Grill, Mr. P's Grilled Cheese, Slow Motion Barbecue, Tots on the Street, and Rose Mob Grill. So
now I'm starving. This always happens when we have a guest and they talk about food.
They never bring food. We got to become one of those shows where like, we're going to make a croissant today. And then at the end, we're having a lovely croissant.
Well, come on down, do the show live, and then you can have some food as well.
Ooh, I like the way you're thinking, Robin.
I like the way you think, Robin. So what time does Riverside Rhythm start? And what is the start date? Is it next Wednesday?
The start date is June 12th.
Okay, June
12th. So June 12th,
couple
it
weeks.
Will go, yep, every Wednesday during the summer, except July 3rd, just because people being out of town and everything.
Sure.
And it's from 11:30 to 1. So it's one food truck, one band, and a lot of seats. We average about 100, 125 people.
Which is such a nice...
It is.
You know, it's a nice, cozy little group.
That's great. I love that.
For people like me who aren't big crowd...
Oh, my
crowd
goodness.
People.
Well, and you get such a variety. You have these parents coming with their kids during the summer. You get some retired people. You get people coming down for lunch from some of the businesses. It's great. It's a great turnout.
And a really nice opportunity, as you said, too, Robin, to highlight some local food vendors.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, try different stuff. And I went down there last year, and I can't remember what it was, but it was fantastic.
Calvin, our resident young person behind the boards here, said, shout out to Mr. P's Grilled Cheese. My friend is the owner, so there
Excellent.
You go.
Excellent.
That's a great name. Paulson. Yeah.
That's a great name. Mr. P's Grilled Cheese. All right.
Yeah, that's one of the favorites. It's a mix of, because the event's growing and having so many applications and food vendors and things, I try to have some of the favorites come back and ones that have been loyal from the start, but I also like to mix in some new flavors and new music so that people can it doesn't get old. It gets new, fresh. So.
You want to change things up a little
bit. Absolutely. You want to give, and you want to give other people chances for that to be seen by crowds to grow a fan base.
Absolutely.
And that. Yeah.
Robin Grams is our guest from the city of Waukesha. We're talking about Riverside Rhythms, which is kicking out off down here in downtown Waukesha on June 12th, every Wednesday except July 3rd, starting from June 12th, from 11:30 until 1 o'clock. Highly encourage you to check it out. And again, our very own Johnny Watermelon, who is a very congenial man. He loves to talk to people. He really does.
He's like our ambassador.
He is. He's
our outdoor ambassador.
Johnny will be down there every week, every Wednesday, I believe, for Riverside Rhythms. So look for him in the WAUK tent. Robin, within the couple of minutes that we have left, what else is coming up?
So we have such a great lineup over the summer and into the fall. One of the other events that my department, Community Development, puts on is the Walktober Beer and Wine Walk.
That's a big deal.
It is.
That one sells. I remember last year you guys were talking about this one sells out.
Sells out every year. Yeah. We have run out, so it's going to be October 19th this year.
Put it on your calendar now.
Yep.
And then another October one, too, is the Waukesha Unlocked.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's great. That's when the there's going to be tours and events for spaces that aren't typically open to the public. So that's October 12th and 13th downtown as well.
It's like doors open in Milwaukee, if you've ever done that. So it's a lot of businesses, churches, sometimes historical buildings, right, that people get to go into that you normally wouldn't. It's like going to an open house and you can look in people's medicine cabinets.
Yeah, Jane, exactly like that, you weirdo. So, Robin, when is the Beer and Wine Walk tickets available? Are they available now, or are they going to be going on sale soon?
They go on sale around Labor Day week.
Around Labor Day week. Yeah. It's important always to talk about that, too, not just when the event is.
But when the tickets, when you can get tickets.
Tickets go on sale, because they'll snap them up.
And for people who aren't familiar with the walk, how does that work? How does the walk work?
So, last year, we had 16 different host site locations, so 16 different stops that people could go in and sample either a local beer or a wine with a wristband. Each host location has food to give out as well, snacks and that, but it just gets people into the downtown, into businesses they typically wouldn't be able to get into, and then just kind of enjoy a night out.
There's some great little businesses in downtown Waukesha, little gifty shops and galleries. And if you're looking for something different as opposed to you're looking for a birthday present or an anniversary present, I highly encourage you to check out some of the businesses downtown, because they really do have stuff you don't find everywhere.
Absolutely. And then there's obviously a lot of the events that Parks Department puts on during the year, like Tribute Tuesdays, Movies in the Park, jazz concerts. So a lot of stuff coming up. You have the Farmers Market going on. Friday Night Live starts.
Yes.
I believe next Friday. So.
Yep. And I will be down at the Farmers Market this Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah. And I did some checking. Robert Allen was it's the same way he was my guitar teacher growing up.
Then we have to go when he's here so we can say hello.
I doubt he'll remember me, but.
Maybe you were a really bad student, and that will stand out.
That was really not the way I wanted that to go, but okay. Thanks, everybody.
Robin Grams with the city of Waukesha. What is your website if people want to find out more?
You can go to the downtownwaukesha.com. We constantly post new calendar, new events, and everything like that.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Waba.
Pat Kreidlow.
Friday morning, we'll get our legal fix from Jim Santel as he previews his Saturday morning show, sure to focus on Trump trial closing arguments.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
Watch out!
They got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.